Okay, Sunday night. Do you have a Chofetz Chaim here for a Shaloshon, you know, with the days? Yeah, thank you. Oh. No. Yes.
The light brown covers, the beige one.
I have another one.
Well, is this... Oh, this might be... Okay, let me see. Yud Ches. No, I want... Do you have the Hebrew Sefer, the Shmir Shaloshin and Chofetz Chaim?
I should.
Brown, right? Yeah. Okay, here. I see a Chofetz Chaim right there. Yeah, I have it. Right there. Oh. But, no, I want the back. No, that's a different arrangement. No, I wanted the second half. In other words, this is Sefer Chofetz Chaim. I wanted to say for Shmir Shaloshin. Okay. Maybe you don't have it, okay. Shmir Shaloshin, that's what it's called. Alright, we'll do without it. We'll have to. Okay, Sunday night, Parshas Toldos. The fifth shiur of the winter of Samach Tes. The 17th shiur in the fourth parak of Shiur B'Tochan. Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson. Okay, I wanted to just spend a few minutes before we pick up where we're up to. The last thing we learned in the Chayvus Halavos was very hard. It is a very hard thing to come to terms with. And that's why the Chofetz Chaim really says the same thing. So, you know, the Chofetz Halavos, you could say, yeah, what did he know? He lived so many hundreds of years ago. But the Chofetz Chaim just lived, right? So, if he says the same thing, we should maybe take it seriously. What does the Chofetz Halavos say? He says that if someone harms you, if someone does something... Someone harms you, someone's mazik you, someone talks against you, someone causes you harm. Someone causes you harm. So you have to, the healthy thing to, for a, what the Baal B'Tochon should do is look at it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him, and he's just a puppet in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you shouldn't, I mean, this is how to deal with the inyan of Nekama and the Tira, right? So, but he says, so first of all, it always has to be spoken out that we're not talking about something that's actionable according to the Shulchan Aruch, and you could take someone to Beis Din, you know, that's so that's part of life, and you can do something about it, and the Torah provides, just like a person has an obligation to protect himself or herself, so if you could demand damages, right, and so that's part of Torah also. The Torah certainly wants you to do that. Maybe there's an inyan of Lefnim Mishuras Adin, you want to have Midus Chasidus and Bimalkal the person, that's your prerogative, but that's not what the Chavis HaLavos is talking about. It can't be. He's talking about the way a Baal B'Tochon should think. So Kozman, it's recoverable or it's fixable, then it would be part of normal hishtadlus to try to fix what's broken, to try to prevent anything from happening, and to try to recover the damages that were done to you. So he's just talking, he's not talking about an actionable action. He's talking about someone talks lashon hara about you and caused you harm. They made you lose a job. They made you lose customers. So the Chavis HaLavos says, you know, once it happens, the Baal B'Tochon looks, this is what he says. He says, you have to look at them as an agent of Hashem, and because no one can harm you unless Hashem wills it, just as no one can benefit you unless Hashem wills it. So how should you think of them? So he says you should be dan dem lekapschus. You should do chesed with them. Like I said, you know, take them out to eat, take them out for a cup of coffee, and you should say that Hashem wanted this to happen to me. Whether you could think of it as a punishment for Averis, or as a nisayon, or as just something that had to happen because this is your life, you know, and this is the way it's supposed to happen. And they were just the instrument. So the Baal B'Tochas says they were just the instrument. And then he says you should do chesed with them, and you should be dan dem l'kapschus, and they will become your friends. That's what he says. If you have that healthy attitude towards them, in other words, the Baal B'Tochon says, this is Hashem, it's not them. And then he or she is able to look at them in a different light. Let's talk logically here for a minute, because this is an important part of life. I want to ask a question that may have occurred to you, or may not have occurred to you, but I'm speaking it out because it's a question, and we have to deal with it if we're going to learn Chayavos Halbavos. When the person does something good to you, Chayavos Halbavos says, don't go overboard in being, you know, indebted to him for life. Realize it's Hashem that did it for you, but of course you thank him, and you say, you know, okay, here's a person through which Hashem did a good thing, and Magalgul and Schus Al Yedei Zakai, and the person deserves my thanks, if for no other reason than he had a good thought, he wanted to do something good to me, and Hashem let him be an instrument to do good, so that's something that's worthy of respect, that in itself, even if it's not him, it's Hashem. But, you know, he wanted to, and Hashem let him be the instrument. So fine, and he said, thank him. Don't go overboard. Don't go, you know, like sometimes a kavod is given to Ashirim even when inappropriate, because we forget it's Hashem. So he wants you to remember it's Hashem, and therefore you don't go overboard, although the person does deserve your thanks, and you should even feel, you should even give him the kavod, but really you're giving him the kavod because he must be doing something right. If Hashem let him be the instrument of such a mitzvah, he must be doing something right. On the flip side, then, and it's like really a question on the Chayavos Halbavos. So like, what's wrong? Someone harms me, and I say, okay, like I'm already a big Baal B'Tochon, and I say, okay, he was the instrument of Hashem, and it was really Hashem. But then, still, why wouldn't it be logical? So it doesn't follow that he should be your friend. Why doesn't it follow the same thing? You should say, but he is a bad person. He meant to do bad to me. Hashem let him be the instrument of a bad thing happening. Megalguin chov al yedei chayav. So I hate him back. I am mad at him. I'm angry at him. I will return his enmity with my own. The question, maybe I shouldn't have asked it. It's an obvious question. Why by the good? If you can make that cheshbon by the good, then you should be able to make that cheshbon by the bad too. So why by the bad? Like, what gives the chavos? What's the compelling? Where's the compelling? It's not logical. In other words, if you can do it by the good and say he's a good person, I want to be his friend. So then, like, I could do it the other way too. So the answer is Enochanami, you could. But the Chayavos Halbavos is teaching us, thank you very much. Yeah. The Chayavos Halbavos is teaching us, really, how are you supposed to think? He's teaching you to be down people. You know, this is part of the Isser Lo Sikon. This is part of the Isser Lo Sitor. This is part of the Hata Lo Yecha Kamocha. This is part of Havei Donas Kol Odom L'Kav Schus. So he's teaching you, like, how do you do that? And it's my obligation as a Jew, v'haftaloecha kamocha, and lo sikom v'lo sitar, is to, someone hurts me, someone does something negative to me, so what I'm supposed to do is, since I'm a Baal Bitachon, in other words, maybe I couldn't overcome my hergeshim if I felt he harmed me. I think that's what the Chodesh Lovers is trying to teach us. If I felt that he harmed me or she harmed me, then it would be superhuman for me to say, I'll be Michael, I'll be their friend. But once you were like over the hump, and you say, you know, they didn't really do anything to me. So now it's just that, it's more of a theoretical, but they meant to do something bad to me, and they're obviously not nice people, v'chulu. So that's where the Torah says, no, don't do that. Lo sikom, lo sitar. And now it's possible already, because you removed angle from it that they harmed me. Like, how can I overlook that? Yeah, you can overlook it, because they didn't really harm you. Hashem used them as an instrument. Now, so you're supposed to, it doesn't follow logically, but it's your obligation to not to take nekama for sure, and to be done lekav schus. That which the Chayvus Halvodus says, that you should be gomel chesed with them, you should apparently even go out of your way to be nice to them. And then he says, and if you recognize that, if you're done them lekav schus, and you're able to act, to think this way, then he says, Ozio, in the last line that we learned last week, Ozio shuvu oivav lihios ohavav. He's saying, is a pasuk in Mishlei, Beretzos Hashem darke yesh gam oivav yashlim ito. He says, that's what Hashem will do. Hashem will turn things around. You're not going to end up with a one-way relationship where he keeps on with you and doing things to you. I want to challenge everyone here to do it. Try it. I want to tell you a story. I'll tell you a story. Now I'm thinking, it's not that outlandish. It just takes, you have to over... It happened to someone in the shul. Someone in the shul around 2 weeks ago got a new neighbor, and the person was mazik him in a big way. And if it would have happened to me, I don't know what I would have done. I would have forgotten the whole Chodesh Halavos within 3 seconds. He was really mazik him in a big way. And because the person who was harmed is who he is, so on one hand, you know, we were talking a lot on the phone. On one hand, they took him to Besdin, and the person had to pay him a couple thousand shekel for the damage that was done. But they walked out of their friends. No. He wasn't angry. Like he said, listen, you're mazik me, you have to pay me. And he did. But Hashem wanted this to happen to me, so you have to pay me because you damaged me. But I want to be your friend, and there's no reason for us to be enemies. And, you know, I have to report if it'll work long term, but meanwhile it worked. The person, obviously there was something like, something inside of him that allowed him to do it. It worked. I can tell you it worked. Now I'm thinking, something just happened within the last 2 weeks in a very big way. And it works. And why don't we, instead of, you know, I'm sitting here like trying to explain the Chayvus Halavos that it shouldn't look weird to us, I'm throwing out a challenge to you. Maybe it's not weird at all. Maybe if we did what the Chayvus Halavos said, we'd see that it works. Did you try it? If you have a coworker that is obnoxious to you and always tells the boss when you leave early and always tells the boss when you come late, and right, you know something, say, Hashem is doing it to me, and maybe I shouldn't come late, maybe I shouldn't leave early, and buy them a cup of coffee.
Behave myself.
Right? And you'll see what happens. They'll become your friends.
Are you saying that it'll work, meaning that other person will stop harming you, or that other person will...
The Chai B'Shal Baba says you will turn that person into your friend. The
Chai
B'Shal Baba says that person will turn into your friend. But his conditions are that you have to have the mental attitude of the Baal Bitachon. It means you have to really sincerely feel that it's Hashem that did it, not this person, or Hashem wanted it to happen. And be down the person of the Kafschus. Ask Hashem to be mochel you, and turn to Hashem. Say, Hashem, please stop doing bad things to me. I'm going to try to be a good person, do tshuva. Take it on yourself as Hashem is sending you a message. Be down the person of the Kafschus. Be gomel chesed with them. Do favors to them. And then you'll see, he says, they'll turn into your friend. So instead of saying here, like, this guy's out of his mind, I say, let's try it. And you'll sell something. Maybe something. I bet you it works.
What happens if it's a goy?
I don't know. I don't take responsibility for goyim. Goyim or goyim? I don't know. Goyim or goyim? Don't do this to Arabs. The minute you turn your back, they'll stab you. Bnei Yishmael are the worst.
If you forgive somebody who harmed you, and you try and do chesed for them, whatever, but what if they think that you harmed them, and they're not willing to forgive you or do chesed for you? Or that's, you're saying, as long as you do that to them, it'll turn around.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a misunderstanding, obviously you should try to clarify. I think there's a lot going on that the Chai B'Shal Baba is not talking about. I think that I don't think it's magic necessarily. I think the Chai B'Shal Baba is, 90% of the time, if this happens, you'll realize that you have a lot in common and it's really just a misunderstanding. I mean, even though the case that I said over happened, I don't know, that was I wouldn't have dealt with it. He's an evil person, but it worked. It worked. So I don't know if it's not a segula. I don't know what to make exactly of the Chai B'Shal Baba. I could think of it that it's probably a misunderstanding, or sometimes people have emotional issues. Most of the time it's either. I'm sure that 90% of cases are covered by what I'm about to say. Either it's a misunderstanding, the misunderstanding being most of the time that the other person thinks that you're harming them, and they are just getting back at you. And once you clarify things, they realize that they're not threatened by you. At work, they could think you're trying to take over their job, you're trying to ingratiate yourself with the boss at their expense. So this is their way of protecting themselves. I think most of the time it's either a misunderstanding, or sometimes a person is doing things, let's say emotional reasons. People do things, let's say, their parents, his father mistreated her, her father mistreated her, and she's angry at the world. But if you become their friend, so they won't direct their emotional anger at you. They'll find someone else. No, but really, I think 90% of cases are covered. And I'm saying what the Chai B'Shal Baba says is true. It's not so weird. And the reason it's true, I think, is not necessarily a segula, even though he quotes a pasuk. He quotes it as if you have the right attitude and you daven to Hashem, and you take the blame on yourself, and you're down the kafschus, this will happen. But I think it'll happen, because 90% of the time it was either a misunderstanding, or they're directing some emotional issue that they have, they're directing it at you, and once you become their friend, they won't direct it at you anymore. They won't. But this is, this is true by spouses also. Sometimes there's shalom bias issues. If you swallow hard, not you, or if your husband swallows hard and just keeps being nice, and just keeps being nice and keeps, you know, the people turn around. It's I'm sure this is mamish, but pashtus true 90% of the time. Why do I say 90? Because sometimes you get like bad people, you know, and there's not, no matter what you do, they're just bad. So I have to allow for that 10% of people. But the more I think about it, the more it's probably true. We're crazy. Okay, yeah, you have.
I was going to say really the same thing. You're out sometimes when it's not going to help. But in general, if you have a right to be unpleasant back, it generates more and more unpleasantness, and it's a domino effect, and it goes on and makes wider circles. And the reverse is true. If you act nicely in face of something like this, like that man did, you generate pleasantness, and it creates a much more positive atmosphere.
So now you can quote the Chavis Halvavis for saying that. Okay, now this is again Rabbi Finkelman and Rabbi Berkowitz. What I need is Rabbi Siegel's, the Manchester Rosh Hashiva's splitting up, and it's the second half of this sefer. This is like a restatement of the Chafetz Chaim. No, I wanted to show that the Chafetz Chaim says the same thing. He says the same thing as the Chavis Halvavis. Someone harms you. Okay, Mitzvah Shem.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
In your example there, the man that happened to
reach. Yeah.
But let's say that whatever harm was caused to him, win back. Like in this case, you said he won back whatever damage, right? Let's say he didn't, and he had to live with the harm. Do you still think?
Well, it depends what happened. If the person's refusing to come to Beis Din or refusing to pay him after a Beis Din said he has to reimburse him, so then you keep pursuing it. Then it's like, you know, the guy's still stealing from you. It's still going on. But once it's over, and so even if he...
But this cup of coffee, are you saying it's while it's going on?
It's hard to say. I don't know. In this case, you see, it wasn't a steer. It could have been going on too. He said, look, you owe me money, you damaged me in a big way, but I want to be your friend. There's no reason why we should be, you know, I don't know why you did what you did, and I'm going to go after you to collect the money you owe me because you damaged me, but let's be friends. I want to be your friend. I don't want to be your enemy. And the guy, really, you know. So, he must have had, again, like people have all sorts of issues. It's very, very rare that someone is just plain bad. People have issues and they take it out against their spouse. I mean, that's why it's very lucrative to be in the mental health field, because most of the bad that's done is mental health issues, emotional issues. The way they have issues with their parents, they have issues with society, they have to be taught social, and they're angry at the world, or they have low self-esteem and they want to get back at people, they're paranoid, shtickle, you know, and it's coming from emotional issues. But once they feel you're their friend, then they, you know, usually they become very, very good friends, because such people usually need friends. Because usually, if you don't learn Chavis Halvavis and you're not on a high madrega, you're not on a Jewish madrega, then most antisocial behavior gets you antisocial behavior right back. But as you know, you mentioned, if you cut it off at the quick, but okay, and I think the reason this is in the Chavis Halvavis is because I think he's enabling you to do it by bitachon, by stressing that your perspective should be that Hashem's doing it, not this person. That's how you can do this. This is, I think, the Chavis Halvavis' point is that this is what makes it doable. If you would think that guy harmed me, you just couldn't do it. Like, then he wouldn't write what he writes. He would, like, save it for the tzaddikim lifnim mishuras hadin volume. Mm. It wouldn't be here talking to regular people. His point is, you have to really believe that it wasn't really this person. Because nobody can harm you if Hashem doesn't allow it. So it's really Hashem, and Hashem's... So then you're able to deal with the leftovers. The leftovers is, yeah, but he was the instrument, and he meant to do bad. So that you're able to deal with. But if you would feel like he harmed me, it would be probably an unbridgeable gap.
You should trust that person again, because it's really Hashem who did it. So you should trust that person a second time.
I can't answer that. Like, what do you mean? You mean if you lend someone money they didn't pay you back, should you lend them again money? Every case is different. No. No. You see...
Trust them? Because it wasn't really them that did it.
Well, certainly Hashem wanted you to lose this money.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch that you are not to lend money to people who you're reasonably certain will not pay you back. You're not allowed to lend money to them. You're over an Isser if you lend money to them. You're either lifnei ivar or siten michshol, because you're giving a michshol lifnei ivar, and you're not allowed to, because it's just, you end up in a fight, in a machlokas. So, most normal, I don't want to say normal, most such situations are governed by halacha, right? And, the Chavis HaLonis is not saying, buy the guy, buy her lunch, buy her a cup of coffee. He's not saying, trust her again with your wedding dress. He's not telling you to do that. He's not telling you to go there again and do it again after she messed up. But he's talking about your mental attitude towards what happened. If you say Hashem did it to me, so I'll do it again, I'll lend her my dress because I did tshuva and now she won't. That's okay. I guess you can do that.
What about if he doesn't pay you back the loan? How do you treat him?
So there is a din in Shulchan Aruch. You really have to investigate. Your obligation would be to investigate why he didn't pay you back.
But you still have to go towards the...
Why isn't he paying you back? If he's fallen on hard times and he doesn't have the money to pay you back. He's a ganav. You're saying he's a ganav. Yeah? So if he's a ganav, you don't lend the money again. Right? Just like you don't keep your door open, unlocked, at night, if there's gonna have them in the neighborhood, that's part of normal hishtadlus.
Like,
but your mental attitude, you could be his friend.
He's my friend if he stole my money.
Okay, so you won't do it. Okay, so you won't do it. The Chavis HaLonis says, if you want to turn him into your friend, the Chavis HaLonis is telling you how to do it. If you don't choose him,
I don't want people to know that I'm okay.
It's your choice. Chavis HaLonis is not saying it's obligatory. He's saying what's obligatory is to realize that Hashem wanted you to lose this money. That's right. Hashem wanted you to lose this money. Once you're over that, then you're able to say, and he was just the instrument, and let me do him favors, and he'll become my friend. If you have no interest in him being your friend, okay. But if someone steals from you, you're not going to take Nakama.
No.
You don't have to be his friend, right? I agree. You don't have to. If you want to, you'll do what Chavis HaLonis says. But you still won't take Nakama. You still have to think it's not him, it was Hashem that did it, and you have no right to do anything to him if he wants to borrow your pen, you have to lend him your pen. You have to do him all the favors that you have to do to any Jew.
You have to even do v'atulecha kamocha to him. You don't have to. You see, when we say be a friend, you know, we're talking about, you know, someone you're going to go to the bar mitzvah with. You know, so you don't want to have any connection to this person. But if you would ask me if there's an obligation of v'atulecha kamocha to someone that stole from you, okay, maybe not, because if he didn't do tshuva, he's maybe a Russia. So maybe v'atulecha kamocha is a little heavy. So maybe there's not, because maybe he's a Russia. But if someone just, you know, insulted you or harmed you, you know, so you don't have to be their friend, but you can't take nekama, so you'll use the chavis halavos to not take nekama. You'll use the chavis halavos to not talk lashon hara. You know, this happens every day. The chavis halavos, maybe it's an extreme, but you know, it happens every day. Someone harmed me. I want to go tell people about it. Right? That's our first reaction, is I want people to know what a bum this guy is and how he hurt me. And I want everybody to know about it. And really, you're not allowed to. So these four lines of the Chayyus HaLbabas, if they won't work to the extent that you're going to make the guy your friend, but they'll work to the extent that you won't do what's usher. You won't talk lashon hara on him. You don't go around telling people what he did to you. You're not allowed to. So the Chayyus HaLbabas is a valuable mindset, even if you choose not to take it to the extent of making the person, turning the person into your friend. Although you may want to turn him into your friend. Never know. Okay, let's continue. We're going to start now. What did he started off Chelek Ravi, Perek Ravi. What did he say? The 17th Shir of Perek Ravi. Perek Ravi is about how to apply bitachon to everyday situations. So he gave a list of seven aspects of life. So the first one was basic parnasa. Second one was having more money than you need. The third was your friends and obligations and social relationships. And the fourth, so now he's up to the fourth. Right, this is a very long one. The relationships was very long. And now we're up to the fourth. The fourth is how do you apply, the fourth is not as, maybe not as exciting, although there's very fundamental ideas here in terms of bechira. Because the fourth is how to apply bitachon when it comes to doing mitzvahs. How much hishtadlus do I do? Is it the same hishtadlus as earning money? Or less hishtadlus? Or more hishtadlus? Or the same? And how do you apply bitachon to mitzvahs? Tavodus Hashem. Avol bera chelek ravi minyani chag, whether it's chavos haldavos, or Evarim, whether it's mitzvah in the lev or mitzvah in the Evarim, asher to'altan benizgan, their usefulness, their to'elis, the benefit, or their nezek, if you don't do it, miyuchad ba'adam, and there's no one else involved, it's just between me and Hashem. There's that kind. Behem, Kagon, he gives examples, Hatzom, fasting, batfila, davening, basukkah, lulav, tzitzis, shmir shabbos, moadim, tahihimonos, refraining from doing dvarim asurim. So that's mitzvahs, chovos eivorim, that no one else is involved, just you and Hashem. Uklau chovos halvodos, and in general, chovos halvodos is of such a nature that it doesn't involve other people. She'enum over melzulah, so you're not, no one else is involved in your avos Hashem and your yiras Hashem and your attitude towards life. There's no one involved in that. The to'altam beniskan miyuchado mibaladei shor b'nei adam. So where do I draw the line? At what point can I ever say, you know, Hashem will just guide me in the right way? Whatever Hashem feels I should do, I have bitachon that Hashem is going to have me do the right thing. Hashem is going to have me do what's right, have me do what I should be doing. I'm trusting Hashem. I'm putting it all in Hashem's hands. Can you ever say that? At what point can you say that? Harei ofen habitachon hanochon the right true bitachon that you have in such a case al Hashem b'kulon kfi shani mavar. Okay, he says, like, I'm about to tell you it, and you see he takes this, he feels he's saying a very, very fundamental idea, because he now says, and this he didn't say in the whole Shaar Bitachon, he says, Umi Hashem Eshal, and I ask Hashem, I pray to Hashem, Lahan Choseinu Ala Emes Barachamot, that I shouldn't be making a mistake. So, he's not ashamed to write that in the Sefer. And he obviously holds he's going to say something very more fundamental than what we just learned about make your enemy your friend. He holds he's going to say something very fundamental, and therefore he asks Hashem to guide him the right way, and he shouldn't make a mistake. He really was supposed to stop here. You have to ask me questions. So, should we stop at this high point and be in suspense till next week? What's the earth shattering you so? Because all this is going to say that he prays to Hashem, he's not making a mistake. Let's tune in next week. Even though we really talked the first half of the show. Any questions? Anybody have any questions about anything? No, nothing. No questions. You have the news. So much in the news. Or hashkafa.
Something I've always wondered: why in Krishna Aramita do we take such pain in forgiving other people, the Gilgul Hazir, the Gilgul Achir, for anything that they've done wrong to us? It seems to me that it should be the Rishon.
Because Hashem wants you to sleep. He wants you to have a good night's sleep. Well, first of all, realize that you said it's Krishna Shalamit, and it's true that we have that Yirasum there, but realize that that's not the main point of Krishna Shalamita,
no,
quote
no.
unquote.
But
so Krishna Shalamita,
it's like a long drawn out thing to ask Hashem to forgive anyone that.
Wait, see, so but you realize that Krishna Shalamita,
yeah,
is something we say because there are negative spiritual forces at night, and when we sleep, our bodies are there, our neshamas go away to the spa to be refreshed and refurbished, and we're left with our guf, with chumrius, really, and night time is anyway always a hester ponim time, you know, so that's what Krishna Shalamit is all about. We ask Hashem to protect us and from negative spiritual forces, which are real. That's why we wash negelbasser in the morning. So you're talking, but then there's an energy rattle. So I'm not sure what you're asking. You seem to be bothered by the lengthiness of it.
Well, the fact that it's there, and the fact that it's lengthy.
It's a very healthy thing to do at night.
Surely, I would think, it seems to be logical, you should ask Hashem to please forgive me if I've done anything wrong, please forgive me. But you're saying, please forgive. I forgive anybody else that's done something
well,
to me.
Well, you know, there are people who have traditionally always made a cheshbon hanefesh. There's a sefer even called sefer cheshbon hanefesh. And traditionally, people who made a cheshbon hanefesh at the end of the day, they would take out their little notebooks and like try to remember what they did that day and what they did right and what they did wrong, and ask Hashem for forgiveness. And that taka took place at the end of the day. It's not in the siddur maybe. And they didn't make it part of a nusach, and you know, I can't answer you why not. It's, you know, whoever does it, does it. Whoever doesn't do it, doesn't do it. It's called cheshbon hanefesh, and the time for cheshbon hanefesh is at night, at the end of the day. So I'm not going to say that is something to do then. The siddur is talking about what they put into the siddur is very specific. To this point, you know, we want Hashem to be. It's good to be mochel people. If you are, that's the one thing. You know, Hashem never overlooks a sin. Hashem doesn't. You're not allowed to say that Hashem overlooks a sin. But if a person wants to be zoche, that Hashem should overlook his or her own faults. So the tried and true method is to overlook other people's faults, and that's the force that we create in midah keneged midah. Even if we forgive others. And if we overlook it, and we don't, you know, we're mevater. So that's the one thing that works. You're not allowed to say Hashem will be mevater. But if you're mevater, so Hashem will be mevater. So in a certain sense, you are, you know, you're setting yourself up for forgiveness. But anyway, it's a very healthy thing to do at night. You know, we would like everybody to do that. Just, you know, you really want to start a fresh day tomorrow, and you want to, I'm serious about a good night's sleep. Just, you know, let that anger, you get a good massage, it also works, and let that anger seep out of you. And it's a good thing, it's a very healthy thing to do at night. Before you go to sleep, at the end of the day, I don't think it's connected to sleep as much as the end of the day. Start a fresh day tomorrow, you'll get your neshama back. Don't start with all the anxieties and angers and grudges, and, you know, start fresh. Every day could be a fresh day. Maybe that's the message it's teaching you. So that's the best way of starting fresh, is to be mochel. More than asking Hashem to be mochel you, you be mochel others. That's the best way to start the day fresh. And it has this beneficial result, because then there's a midah keneged midah process that kicks in. So Hashem, indeed, you know, Yom Mevater, Hashem will be Mevater. That's what the Gemara says, right? Kol Amavra al Midosav Mavrim al Kol Pshad. Normally, you're not allowed to say Hashem is Mavra al Kol Pshad. Hashem doesn't overlook things. But in the Midah Keneged Midah system, he will overlook. He does overlook. So that's a surefire way to get Mechila. Okay.
The Chavos HaLevavos was saying about not giving
Nekama
to the
Nekama. Yeah, well, that's, again, that's healthy. The way to deal with this Nekama instinct is to be Mochel and to be Mavater, and the way to be Mavater is to realize it's a way, you know. I think it's a healthy way. Having learned Chavos HaLevavos, I would say that's the best way to deal with that, indeed. The best way to deal with those feelings is by realizing that it's from Hashem. And then you'll be able to take the next step of being Mochel. Okay, any questions? No? Okay. Let's learn a little more Chavos HaLevavos. So he talks about doing mitzvahs, and he's going to say a big yisod. Okay, we'll start, and it's something to think about. For who shemaisa hanishmas, when it comes to doing mitzvahs, the hamari or the opposite averus, lo yitochru v'odam ala b'kave shlosha dvarim. There's three stages. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. There's three stages whenever you do anything. But here he's talking about doing a mitzvah. You made a decision, and you carried it out. So there's three stages. Echad, stage one, is b'chiras hameshmas l'Hashem yisaleh b'machshato u'matzpuno. The decision to do good. You made a decision. And it's still theoretical, but it's a decision. It's a hachlata. You decided. That's the first step. The second step is, see, we capsulate these two steps, and we think of them as one, and then we don't even think of it at all because we jump to the third thing. The third thing is when you do the mitzvah. But listen to the steps, the Chavos HaLevavos says. First you decide to do it, then you plan how you're going to do it. That's also like, it's a more concretized form of the decision. Because the decision can be theoretical. You know, I want to be good, I'm going to be more careful about Lashon Hara, I'm going to daven, I'm going to give tzedakah. You've made a decision. The second thing is to think and to plan how the decision will be implemented. In other words, you make a decision. Let's say I make a decision, I'm going to daven mincha every day. Then there's a step two, because that's very nice, but that lasts around, many times that lasts around 1 or 2 days. Number two is you say, I'm going to daven mincha because I'm a daven, as soon as you can, I'm a daven. The kids are still in school. Like nowadays, you can daven mincha 5 to 12. Okay, right away, I'm a daven mincha gedola. Like, yozma, you plan on how you're going to carry it out. It's not just a theoretical decision, but you also think how you're going to do it, how it's going to happen. And number three is it happens. Number three is it gets carried out. So he'll talk about bitachon in each of the three stages. But first he dissects any time you do a mitzvah or shalom aveira, so he dissects it into three. Now, if you stop do a mitzvah, we'll be learning. Let's say you do a mitzvah, as all too many of our mitzvahs are perhaps mitzvahs on Noshim Bulumada. And you know, I dare say that most mitzvahs, I do, I'll talk about me. You know, I don't know if it's a conscious decision. Certainly, I don't make a conscious decision every day to put on tefillin, what tzitzis, what to learn. I'll make a conscious decision. But that's bien, it's not good. That's mitzvah sanoshim melumada. We do things by rote, we do things by habit, or we do things because what the neighbors will say. And Chavis Alava says, really, we're talking about bechira. So every good action, or achmana l'flana bad action, really can be split up into its components, what is supposed to be happening. You're supposed to be making a decision. Now, it could be, I'm not saying a person has to make a decision every day to get stuck or to put on tefillin or to have a mezuzah. It could be you made a decision at one point in your life that you're going to live a certain lifestyle, and then that major decision is already your decision on all the hundreds and thousands of prophet that come out. Right? But then there's always a shonus in life. Someone asked me tonight, is everything in the Sion? So I said, yeah. That's what Musa Shan says. Everything that happens in life is in the Sion. And if you don't have problems in life, then your Nisayon is to grow without having a Nisayon. And that's a very difficult Nisayon, right? If life is pleasant and smooth and geschmack and really, you're sailing through life, so like, are you going to grow anyway? Because growth usually, for better or for worse, comes from circumstances that you have to contend with. And if you don't have to contend with anything, so are you going to grow? That's even Yaakov Avinu wanted to live b'shalva. Hashem said no. Yeah.
Doesn't mean that Hashem is kind of forsaken a person.
I'm sorry?
Doesn't mean that Hashem is forsaken a person if that happens to them?
If what happens?
If they don't have any Torahs or any Nisyonas, then... Mm-hmm.
The Gemara does say you should be worried. You should worry. But I just calmed you down. I said, you're getting the biggest Nisayon of all. And that's to grow without a Nisayon. That's a very big Nisayon. I tell you, should look at it. The Sosheim says everything, not you. The Sosheim says everything's a Nisayon. So I'm saying not having a Nisayon is also a Nisayon. Everything in life that happens to you is meant to spur you on to become a better person, maybe to become closer to Hashem, maybe to be better than Benoit Machaberim. It's meant to make you a more spiritual person, a better person, everything. And Taka is Nisayon every day. Some are more difficult than others. And sometimes the Nisayon is, it's not a joke, sometimes the Nisayon is to grow even though nothing bad is happening. Okay, we'll stop here.